Again, greetings and welcome. Thank you so much for joining me, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And we invite you, myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, to go to naturalnurse.com. And a very good thing to click there, of course, you can join our newsletter. The only thing we ask for is just your email, not even your name. So you can join the newsletter just by going to the bottom of the homepage at naturalnurse.com. But also, we invite you to investigate the calendar, because on the calendar, we list our up and coming events. Now, we do many events that really actually aren't even on the calendar. And those are private classes. Many people are taking workshops. For instance, how to become a registered herbalist. That is a very powerful workshop. Also, career paths in natural health. Like, what do you do well? Maybe you're a graphic design artist or have any kind of skill, but you're working in a place, but your interest is natural health. That's why you're listening today to Natural Alternatives. And you would just be really happy to where you can earn your income in natural. And the point is, you can. You can. And we have a whole class called Career Paths in Natural Health. Now, coming up just this weekend, we have a webinar that, by the way, has three CE units for nurses and RDs, registered dietitians, licensed massage therapists, licensed midwives. And the topic is birth control and fertility, choosing our reproductive path, the science, the consequences, the balance. For instance, did you know that taking birth control pills depletes your reservoir of B vitamins? And B vitamins are linked to mood and mental health. So many people get, as a supposed side effect of taking birth control pills, depression, and then they are given antidepressants. What they should be given is B vitamins. And we're going to talk about what plant remedies you can use to either enhance fertility, if that's what you want, or avoid pregnancy, if that's what you want. And all kinds of special tests you can do at home, like the Fern test, like the cervical mucus test. So this is a great class. It is this Sunday, birth control and fertility, choosing our reproductive life path. The science, the consequences, the balance. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar and you'll see it listed there and how to sign up for it. And by the way, if you're not available Sunday morning, once we do a webinar, then they are always archived. So if you sign up for it now, you get the link so you can listen to it after we have the class anytime for a year. We also have a free class coming up next Monday on Hildegard study group. And we talk all about Hildegard. Hildegard is an amazing Benedictine nun who lived in, she was born in 1098, so a little while ago. And she lived to the 80s. She lived to 1179, which is amazing for people at that time. And she was into what you would now call holistic medicine, like using music therapy. She was a composer, using spiritual and energy medicine, using gemstone therapy, such as placing a jade stone inside your nostril for congestion, for using specific herbs, which she was a great adept at herbal medicine. And she was considered the top scientist in Germany. So what an amazing woman. And she was a nun. So we actually have a study group that is free. Anyone can jump in. You don't have to do the whole series. We have it once a month. And it's not so much me presenting. I'm just the host. And we have lots of people sharing anything they want about Hildegard. I can't wait to have it because I learned so much. And that is through the American Herbalist Guild. The link to sign up is right at naturalnurse.com calendar. We then have, lo and behold, actually in-person herb walks coming right up. We have one August 28th, and that's in Oyster Bay, New York, being hosted by Hive Market. That is completely free. We'll have a slideshow set up in case if it's a rainy evening, we'll talk about the local wild plants. I'll bring some in. But if it's nice, we will go right outside of Hive Market, right in Oyster Bay, Long Island, take a walk and find, you know, who knows, 50, 60, 100 different species of edible and medicinal plants, usually things that are called weeds. We also have a free webinar about biofilm, herbal support in a sticky situation. And this one also grants CE credits to professionals. So that's coming up in September. We also have the Great Lakes Herb Fair, and it's time to sign up for that because that's a three-day event, which is usually in person, but this year it's online. It's the 2021 Great Lakes Herb Fair with many, many different speakers. I am a single presenter in about 3 hours that I'm going to do that day, also on women's health issues and fertility, which is also our radio show topic for today. We'll be bringing on our guests shortly. And we also have another walk at Restoration Farm outside in real time, amazingly enough. We also have other online offerings such as opiates, the problems, natural solutions. So just go to naturalnurse.com and you can email us there. You can join our newsletter there. And you can see what classes we have coming up. So lots of stuff free. And that's at naturalnurse.com, or get in touch personally if you would like to learn how to become a registered herbalist for yourself or as a profession. And if you'd like to take the class Career Paths in Natural Health so you don't waste your time. There's a lot of things available online that are a real waste of time and money and lead you nowhere. Instead, have a consult and then we will show you which path will most efficiently use your time, your energy, and your money for the best ROI, return on your investment. So we'd love to hear from you. Today, our guest is Dr. Leslie Myers. She is a licensed and board-certified naturopathic doctor, as is our own wonderful co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And Leslie specializes in women's health, gastrointestinal issues, fertility, chronic fatigue, insomnia, and anxiety and depression. After completing her doctorate from Bastyr University, which is also Dr. Eugene Zamperone's alumni, Dr. Myers practiced as a primary care doctor in Seattle, focusing on women's health, fertility, gastrointestinal issues, anxiety, depression, fatigue, and insomnia. Then Dr. Myers, along with her wife and partner, and business partner, who is also a naturopathic doctor, relocated to Asheville, North Carolina. And they were also able to continue to focus on holistic medicine. Dr. Myers uses nutrition, lifestyle, herbal medicine, homeopathy, nutrient therapy, and education in her private practice. And the name of that place, which you can look up online, and we have a link on our archive, is waterleafnaturopathic.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Leslie.
Thank you for having me, Ellen. It's great to be here.
Now, during our conversation, should I call you Dr. Leslie or Dr. Myers?
Either one is totally fine.
Okay. Let's go back in time because, you know, we have quite a lot to explore here today. And also we have a lot of time because this show is a full hour, so we can really get into depth. And let's go back in time to little girl Leslie. And what were some of your interests there that you think may have or may not have, in fact, led you to finally become a naturopathic physician?
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I wanted to become a doctor. I knew that. And I never heard of being a naturopathic doctor. I grew up in Louisiana in New Orleans. And there really were not many naturopathic doctors. You know, could probably count them, you know, they're probably under 10 in the South, something like that at that point. And so I wanted to become an MD and, you know, a pediatrician an orthopedist, something like that, because those were my experiences of the MDs I had gone to. And I wanted that because I really enjoyed helping others, and I could feel just the warmth and the joy I got out of just being helpful. And I'm sure, you know, being of service feels good to most people. And so I really felt that. And at one point in college, I started to, you know, I interned, just came in and shadowed some MDs and just felt like, oh, you know, this is not exactly what I want to do. And so I got a little bit turned off from that. And then I found out that you could become a naturopathic doctor. I basically started to become interested in holistic medicine and really just found on the internet, Bastyr University, and that you could get a doctorate in holistic medicine. And I thought, wow, it's almost as if I made that up and then just found it on the internet. I'd never heard of it before. And so I knew right then and there that that's what I wanted to do. And I had struggled with some gastrointestinal issues and some anxiety, you know, which I've come to learn. So many people struggle with anxiety. It's just so common in our society. But, you know, at the time I, you know, was having some fatigue that just didn't feel normal to me, or just, I didn't have an explanation for. And so I was really curious, what could I do differently to help that? And really going into naturopathic medical school, I learned how to help myself with those things through nutrition and through herbal medicine and through learning about the body and the root causes and hormones and the digestive system and how to support my digestion much better. And at one point, you know, and slowly I learned stress management too. You know, I went through different phases of learning more and more about that. And that's continued as I've become a mother and become older and just more that, you know, reach new levels with looking into my own emotional healing. So I don't know if that's what you were asking, but that's pretty much the story.
Yes, that was your path.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing it, that you didn't right away choose naturopathic medicine because you did not know it existed. And to tell you the truth, my co-host on this show, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, similarly was headed to medical school. And he was majoring in marine biology. And he wound up going on a field trip to Jamaica and got rather ill with a gastrointestinal issue, you know, parasite related. And nothing could help him. And when he came back, he stumbled upon Bastyr University and found out that, wow, you could be a doctor, but focus on natural. And truthfully, Bastyr, I would say, of the naturopathic colleges that exist, is really considered the let's say, Harvard of naturopathy. It's extremely science-based.
It is a great school. And it is surprising how many people had never heard of naturopathic doctors. But now, these days, more and more people do know about naturopathic doctors and more, you know, we're producing more. Yeah, but out west, you know, a lot of people I knew that had come to Bastyr from out west, they might have seen a naturopathic doctor as a child, whereas, gosh, I had never even heard the words uttered before.
Well, about the closest that we got in the east, really, I would say, would be chiropractors, mm-hmm. who are considered also natural healers. And it's interesting because naturopaths are also trained with physical manipulation. So also one of the problems, and that exists to this day, and I think all of you naturopaths, along with help from the others of us, have to become more politically activated, because even now, naturopathic doctors are fully recognized. Like you said, when you lived in Seattle, you actually could be somebody's primary care physician. But right. Where you live now, that might not be the case.
That's correct. When I was practicing in Seattle, you know, we were able to take insurance. We did annual PAPs and annuals for kids and adults. And we could prescribe pharmaceuticals. So we had a much broader scope. And But it's the way that we're practicing in North Carolina. It's just okay because we help a lot of people. We focus a lot more on lifestyle than we do now on the stuff like helping people to get their mammograms or to fill their, you know, prescription. And I'd say it's a bit more rewarding to us because this is the stuff that we're really good at. And then we could just leave that other stuff up to people's primary care doctors. You know, we still do the doctor stuff, like we'll order labs and give herbal medicine and help people to give them a boost while they're healing underlying root cause.
So do you find where you are now, and you're in Asheville, North Carolina, and I would say Asheville is a pretty progressive city. Would you agree?
Yes.
Not that North Carolina necessarily is, but Asheville, I almost moved there once. It was just a little too cloudy for me and cool, you know, because I live in southern tropical. That's what I like, palm trees and hot, but very beautiful, very beautiful in the mountains.
Yes,
there.
It's gorgeous. And it's a great place to live. And there's really a nice mix of all types of thoughts, like conventional and progressive. It's kind of, which makes it even more progressive in my mind because it's really open to everything. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. So that is something that you're doing now in Asheville. And your practice, although I imagine you do general things depending on what people come to you for, you really have a focus on women's health.
We do a lot of women's health, And it's really, it's just so rewarding because there's so much more that women can do when their hormones are off, aside from going on birth control pills or, you know, for fertility, like using ovulation induction. Like there's just so much more that we can do aside from pharmaceuticals. There's a time and a place for those things, of course, but it's really nice to be able to give more options to women and for them to feel better in their body in the process of fixing this problem, quote unquote, fixing the problem. While they're doing that with holistic medicine, they also feel better in all these other ways with their energy and sleep and mood. So
I love that, Dr. Leslie. You are so correct. When we look at holistic medicine in general versus just a strictly pharmaceutical intervention approach, the pharmaceutical is usually quite effective at moving a number. Let's say moving a number like blood pressure, so it's lower. However, the patient is sicker because the pharmaceutical itself may give much more adverse effects that were worse than the slightly elevated blood pressure was to begin with. Well, with holistic medicine, like you said, if you do a protocol with someone, which probably involves and will let you share things like foods and, you know, relaxation techniques and exercise, along with some botanicals and maybe some homeopathics, whatever change is created in that focus that you're looking at, what also happens, and this is pretty much always, is that also other things get better along the way.
Right. It's just almost like a nice side effect that is just so great. And people learn about their bodies and they learn what they need to do to make them, to help them to feel their best and to feel good. And it's something that they can use for the rest of their lives. So, you know, somebody will come in, a young woman, maybe in her early 20s, and she's totally bummed out that she has whatever it is that's going on because she's young and her friends aren't experiencing this, but she's having to go through this. And I tell her, look, yes, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. And it's really hard, I can tell, but you're going to have this golden nugget at the end that your friends are not going to have. And you're going to know how to take care of yourself from an early age. And you're not going to have to deal with stuff later on because you're going to learn this stuff early on.
And, you know, isn't it satisfying to you when you're working with someone? And let's say they came to you for something like fertility and their goal is to actually have a baby. And that is kind of the outcome they're focused on, but they're also 46 years old. Have you had any clients like that?
Definitely. And, you know, at 46, the number starts to get a little bit more difficult, but, you know, a couple years earlier, we're going to be having a little more potential for success and people want to, you know, whether they end up getting pregnant at that time or not, they're learning about their body and they're healing, and through fertility, they are, when they go the naturopathic route, like we just said, they're going to feel better while they're helping their chances of getting pregnant instead of having all the side effects of medical intervention.
Right. And I'll throw out some specific ways from clients that I have interacted with. For instance, let's say they're starting on that path, and we'll talk about some of the issues you might deal with there in your clinic. And they start out on the path, and, you know, they don't like get pregnant day one, but they start to wake up within a week later. And when you interview them, you go, so, you know, how has your waking up in the morning with a lot of congestion been? Oh, they wouldn't even realize it. Wow. You know, I've been waking up in the morning with like no congestion, where my whole life I've been totally congested. Like something like that will happen.
Exactly. Oh yeah. All the time. Every time almost.
Right.
And yeah. Where I'm sleeping better, you know, I fall asleep more easily, or, you know, I'm having more energy and I'm having more motivation. You know, it's easier to go to work and I still have energy at the end of the day when I get home.
Yes, energy is a big one.
It is, and what a commodity that is. And so people are really happy with more energy.
That's for sure. So one of the specific issues that you suggested we talk about, and we can focus on it, we might speak about other ones as well, is PCOS. What does that stand for? Not everyone knows.
Right, so PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and That is a condition that where you can have just a couple of these signs or symptoms. So it can involve black hair growth on the chin or face or chest. You can have acne. Irregular periods is a big one, where you have maybe you just have two periods a year, or you know, you might have your period every 2 weeks and then every 3 months. You know, it's unpredictable. Infertility. You can have cysts on the ovaries that are detected by an ultrasound. So when you go into your doctor, they might do an ultrasound, like just like they would with looking at your baby if you're pregnant. And it's real easy imaging tests, and they'd see cysts on the ovaries. And then on a blood test, you might have high testosterone or high glucose, blood sugar, or insulin. So those are all things that can be involved in PCOS, but again, you don't have to have all of those things to have PCOS. And women are usually, you can also have truncal weight gain. So that's weight gain around the midsection, and it can be really stubborn to get rid of. Really
now, what is the difference, Dr. Leslie, between PCOS and PCOD?
Great question. So PCOD is basically like a mild version of PCOS. And I really like having this clarification now, because for a long time I was just calling it soft PCOS, because I would see a very mild version of PCOS where you really didn't want to label someone with PCOS, but they had some of the symptoms in a mild way. And if you treated it, if you use herbal medicine and nutrient therapy and fitness that were the kind that were all good for PCOS, it would get better. So that's PCOD. Basically, you could say it's soft PCOS, and it's very easy to treat, even though if you look on the internet, it'll say there's no cure for it. There are ways to help somebody with that and with PCOS with herbal medicine, nutrition, and fitness primarily.
Well, we're going to take a little break here, Leslie, just for a few minutes here to hear one of our recordings called The Natural Medicine Chest, which is a short radio show that we've been doing for many years. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Leslie Myers. And you can find out more about Dr. Myers and her work at waterleafnaturopathic.com. That's waterleafnaturopathic.com. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as mahuang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are Ephedra sinica, or Chinese mahuang, and Ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on mahuang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, Ma Huang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of Ma Huang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, Ma Huang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Ma Huang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, Ma Huang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using Ma Huang, so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with Ma Huang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember Ma Huang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We are talking with Dr. Leslie Myers, a licensed and board certified naturopathic doctor who specializes in women's health. And we're going to continue our discussion with a focus that we just began about PCOS. So remind us what those letters stand for, doctor.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
And is this a common malady?
It is common, Ellen. It's become more and more common, and it's a twofold reason for that. One is that more doctors know what it is now, and more doctors have it on the forefront of their brain so that they can recognize it and diagnose it. It's also more common, in my opinion, because of the higher levels of stress and our food industry, and just people are, you know, the gut, a lot of people have gut disorders now and issues with their bowels, and people are just getting sicker from poor lifestyle. So
you did mention food. So like what kind of things about our modern diet, especially if we're eating SAD, a standard American diet, which is mm-hmm. truly sad, might feed in to that syndrome?
In my opinion, the biggest factor is junk food and carbohydrates. So processed food, even not just junk food, but processed food. It's addictive. It really is chemically addictive. And the more you eat processed food, the hungrier you are, the more you're going to eat more carbohydrates and sugars. And that really does contribute to PCOS because there's a big insulin blood sugar factor in PCOS.
Yeah. And then that blood sugar, of course, gets spiked, which causes all kinds of problems, including, you know, sometimes people might come to you for one thing, but then what you just talked about, which is that accumulation of fat, adipose tissue in that midline area, that might be their motivation. When you tell them, if you stick with us and we do this program, that is also something that might be helped.
It's so true. So many, you know, everyone has their own motivation. And if the motivation was just simply to be healthy, probably not a lot of people would come in. But everyone has their own reasons for wanting to change their health. And sure, weight gain is a big one for people. And so, you know, when somebody comes in with weight gain, if PCOS is part of the picture, we're going to be looking at more than just that weight gain. But what we're going to do is going to help that weight gain drastically. And others with weight gain, it might have to do with, you know, nutrition is usually involved for sure with helping someone to lose weight, but you have to look at hormones and sleep and stress. Those are huge factors. And especially around menopause too, that's another time where weight gain can feel like pretty stubborn to reverse. And so you have to look at hormones, sleep, stress levels in order to help women with that, or men too.
Well, if a woman was diagnosed with PCOS and she saw a conventional physician, what might be the therapeutic protocol that would be recommended?
Usually birth control pills would be recommended, or some sort of hormonal contraception, like an IUD even. Sometimes metformin is prescribed, and that's a medication that helps with insulin resistance and blood sugar. That can be prescribed when someone's struggling with fertility and they have PCOS. And sometimes it's a good option. If things are severe with PCOS and, you know, they've tried other things and it hasn't worked, you know, their drugs can be a good option, but there are so many things that can work well that are not pharmaceuticals.
And they could also even be used together. That's really interesting.
Yes.
That you as a naturopath say, and that is true. Some drugs, you know, are actually less toxic than others. And there is some very good data about metformin, probably because of that blood sugar regulating effects that it has, may be very helpful as part of the regimen. But again, when someone like yourself, a naturopathic physician, it's never like you are going to make this happen. It's that you are acting sort of as an educator, and it's really back on the individual because you can't stop whatever's going in their mouth. Only they can.
You are so right. Empowerment is really where we want to come from, because it's the lifestyle is just makes the biggest difference, and it gives people the longest results, and it helps people to really take their health into their own control. And then also educating people about their healthcare too, that they have this option and that option, and it's really up to them, and giving them the information and allowing them to be the boss of their healthcare and not feeling like they are needing to be submissive to whatever the, you know, doctors are telling them, including me. So
what might be your first step evaluating somebody who, you know, comes to you, either she's already been told she has PCOS or PCOD, or you're finding out about it? What would a typical program look like that would be advised to the patient?
Well, if she hasn't had labs, we're going to run some labs. And when we're getting into what I would recommend, what we're going to be doing together, we're definitely going to start with some talking about nutrition. And sometimes my patients that come in with PCOS they're just so on top of it with their nutrition because they really want to lose that weight. And it's just really hard. And even though they're doing everything in their minds that they can to lose that weight, they're still not. And so I want to educate them about a lower carbohydrate diet, potentially higher fat, definitely higher protein, and the right kind of fitness. So strength training and resistance training are really important for weight loss with PCOS, and helping that when you use your muscles, it really helps your insulin resistance. It helps your insulin to function well. and your blood sugar to be at good levels.
So I want to throw out a question here, because I totally agree with you about moving more towards a higher protein diet. And how do you deal with this? Something that is often a challenge of people who are strict vegans. Mm-hmm. And I find their diet is really atrocious because it's often very high in carb, very high in either sugar or things that convert to sugar, with tons and tons of grains. And, you know, I find that a challenge, but I often will ask someone, are they following this lifestyle because they think it's good for their health, or are they following it more for what I would call, you know, emotional commitment, or even more like a religious commitment of never eating anything from an animal? That we can't change, just like if someone's kosher. But if they're doing it for health reasons, that really might be the wrong choice.
I'm on the same page with you. So the first thing I'll ask a vegan patient that has hormonal imbalances is why they're vegan, and that, you know, and I'll say there's no judgment involved. Please, you know, this is, I just want to learn more. And if it is about health, I'll really talk to them about, look, you know, this is what I've seen, and it's hard for somebody who's getting a higher carbohydrate diet, lower fat, lower protein, to really heal from this. But if it is about, you know, their belief system, and, you know, the last thing we want to do is try to change, have them do something against their belief system. And if it's about that, then we'll really work hard to fine tune that diet, so that in that vegan diet, they are getting the best protein that possible, and really learning about processed food and carbohydrates and helping them to shift that.
Yeah. And so much is, I mean, it's even when people are going, let's say, to vegan and gluten-free and sugar-free, and if you're buying packaged food, all those things are like not good labels, because they'll usually fill it with all kinds of really terrible stuff, like tapioca powder and corn syrup and all kinds of garbage, but then they'll make it look quasi-healthy by having that, you know, gluten-free label.
It's so true. It's so true. It's like, you know, quote unquote healthy, you know, it's an issue. It's an issue, right?
So it sounds like you're focusing on like what, let's just call a whole foods diet.
Yes. Yes. That really is, to simplify it, you can't go wrong with a whole foods diet.
So therefore things don't have too much packaging.
Right. And it's, you know, that's the way that our grandparents ate, and they did not have all of this obesity issue in the country, and or diabetes issues. So it's if everyone can learn whole foods diet, it really shifts things drastically.
It does. And I have to say, in terms of time management, since I've always traveled, I lecture all over the country and the world. So I'm like, used to be before COVID, I was on a plane every week. That definitely has toned down. But nonetheless, I only do like really serious food prep once or twice a week. And then I use little containers, like they're glass containers with a tight top. So I did my healthy for the cooked food. And then I have everything in a grab and go area in the fridge and in the freezer. I mean, having it really fresh, that would be best. But since I was on the road so much, rather than say I can't eat healthy because I'm on the road so much, I just use specific prep time, and everything in my refrigerator and freezer and defrosted and grab and go is all healthy.
That's great. That's, you know, that's the way to do it, really, prepping. And then it saves you time in the end, and you have all this healthy stuff ready to go, so that when you're needing something quick, you don't have to reach for the quick process thing, right?
Right. Like I go into 7-Eleven, I don't have to buy anything. You know, I might even bring in, if I was on a trip, my previously made steamed vegetables with a little lamb burger or something like that, and it's in a container. I might actually sneak and use their microwave to warm it up, you know? So there's ways with just a little thinking and planning to eat healthy, because so many people say, well, I can't eat healthy because I'm always on the run.
Right. And yeah, it's not true. And I like your, I never thought of that 7-Eleven microwave trick.
That's a good one. I'm going to get sued by 7-Eleven. Uh-oh.
We actually flew somewhere this summer and up to New York to see my in-laws. And my wife and I thought, gosh, let's try packing a salad on the plane. Like, we just never did that. We usually do sandwiches, which are fine, you know, for the day. But we did a salad and it worked just fine. I mean, you know.
It does.
Yeah.
You just need the right container. So that's a trick. Besides the food issue, which is very important, what other interventions might you talk about with somebody specifically with PCOS?
So stress management is huge. I usually see PCOS symptoms start around a time of stress. So maybe like a few years into a stressful time, it can start. And sure, genetics play a role for sure. And the gut health, as I was saying, but it's so many times I see it start after a stressful period. So we want to work on that, calming the nervous system, healing that sympathetic and parasympathetic balance in the body, and really allowing that nervous system to be calm so that they can have a good, not just, you know, a good quality of life so that they can feel calmer in their body and mind, but also so that their nervous system is positively affecting their body and their hormones. So those are big ones. And then I can give
What kind of stress reduction techniques might you recommend?
Well, we do meditation and awareness. That's a big one. My wife used to be a social worker for 10 years before she was a naturopathic doctor for the past 16-ish years. And now she really combines the two. And so she helps our practice members increase their awareness and do emotional healing in a way where it's not so much work and it is easy, you know, and sometimes it can be a simple suggestion or reframing or what we call power questions, that help someone to reframe something themselves so that people can go through difficult experiences and not have them knock them over and it be more like road bumps.
Those are good suggestions. And we're going to take one more little break right here on Natural Alternatives. This is a station ID because we're right here today on Progressive Radio Network. That's PRN.FM. And Dr. Eugene Sanfron and I are so happy to be part of this network, who is the most listened to Progressive Radio Network in the entire world. And it is international. And we actually were one of the very original startup shows because Gary Null initiated this station years ago, and he invited us to join it. We were so happy to be on board, along with all the wonderful shows that you can catch here. And one of the great things is not only can you listen live all day and all night, but you also can get any of the shows as an archive. So we're just going to take a little break right here, Dr. Leslie. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. I'll be asking you some specific questions about herbs you might recommend to your patients for women's health issues. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We invite you to go to naturalnurse.com, sign up for our free newsletter. All you have to do is put in your email and then you'll get notices. But better yet, to just regularly visit naturalnurse.com, click on calendar, because that's where we have a dedicated individual, our wonderful assistant, and that is Tootie. And she updates that calendar regularly with what's coming up next. So if you go there, you will see a lot of those are the group classes. Obviously, the private classes we have with individuals who want to become a registered herbalist or want to know what botanical protocols or natural protocols might help themselves and their family privately. Those are not listed, but all the group classes are there. So go to naturalnurse.com and click on schedule. And coming up soon, we are also doing our Chinatown trip in New York. That's been going on for more than 40 years. We missed last year, but we're hoping to revive that this year, October 17th. So thank you so much for joining us right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Today, we are talking to Dr. Leslie Myers, a licensed and board certified naturopathic physician. You can find her at waterleafnaturopathic.com. We'll have a live link on on the archives. And welcome back to the show, Dr. Leslie.
Thank you, Ellen.
Now, you told us a lot of great recommendations in terms of stress reduction techniques, reevaluating diet for something like PCOS, which in conventional medicine, you would just be given a drug, not all this intervention therapeutics. But let's talk specifically about herbs and homeopathics, you might suggest.
Sure. So one of my favorite combination of herbs for PCOS is licorice and peony. And this is a combination that I'll use specifically for regulating the menstrual cycle with someone with PCOS. And it works incredibly well. Sometimes you'll see the cycle regulate, meaning someone will get their period every 28 days, you know, plus or minus 2 or 3 days. And they ovulate in the middle of the month. So maybe around day 14, plus or minus 2 or 3 days is fine. And so that's a regular menstrual cycle. And so you'll see it, the menstrual cycle regulate usually within 3 months, but sometimes sooner than that with licorice and peony when someone has PCOS. And it's just so great because what a nice, gentle intervention for somebody with PCOS that's struggling with fertility, where all you want is for that person to be able to have a regular menstrual cycle and to ovulate easily.
So that's really interesting because therefore I know that you are trained in something like traditional Chinese medicine, not just Western herbal medicine, where the answer to that question might have been something more like red raspberry and black cohosh.
Right. No, we don't judge based on where the herb comes from. And certainly Chinese medicine is an amazing herbal medicine resource. So
that sounds like a great combination. I could see where that helps with the cortisone levels. And peony is, I think, an underused herb in Western herbal medicine. So that is great. So you would start with that. And what else might you use?
Another one that I use frequently is inositol powder. That starts with an I, inositol powder. And two versions are myo-inositol powder or chiro-inositol powder, and you can use a combination of those. And what that does is that helps with insulin resistance and blood sugar regulation. And that helps greatly with PCOS hormone regulating. So people will see symptoms change drastically with that one as well. It just depends on the person. What it's also good for is anxiety. So, you know, I'll use it for practice members with anxiety as well, even if they don't have a hormonal imbalance. But if they have PCOS and we're using it to balance their hormones and they also have anxiety, it's just, you know, such a great fit oftentimes. And that's actually a special B vitamin.
So see, that is something that is so fantastic with natural remedies, because not only might it help the thing that is initiating its use, it also helps to balance other things.
It's the beauty about natural medicine, and especially herbs, you know, with, they're just so much more balanced than a drug. A drug, like you said, is focused on maybe a number or like one job in the body, and herbs are focused on balancing the body.
That's true. So those are two good recommendations. So inositol, you would do as an inositol powder, which means there won't be any excipients or tableting agents.
Right. Yeah, that's a plus of that. And also the reason we use powder usually is because we can get a higher dose in there with powder. So we might be doing 3 grams twice a day. The dose really varies per person because you have to go up slowly because it can cause loose stools for some people. And if you have a sensitive gut, it might cause loose stools more easily. So you might need to just do, you know, 1.5 grams twice a day, something like that. But if you can tolerate it well, you can go up to maybe even, you know, 4.5 grams twice a day. It just depends on the person.
I wonder what your thoughts are about like organic psyllium powder, because I've seen a lot of people really help get that flat stomach back. If that's one of their goals, by using small amounts, because it can also have side effects if you use too much.
Right. Yeah, that's great. You know, fiber is just, you know, it can be really helpful for people. So with one thing with fiber is that we're balancing the blood sugar with fiber. It balances it incredibly. And then it also is a prebiotic for those that have gut issues to help their gut flora be a little bit happier. And that can help with bloating, but for some people with bloating, they react to a lot of fibers easily. And so then we'll use something called sun fiber, which is made from guar gum. And that's a great one for really the increasing number of people that I see reacting to fibers because they might have something called SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So sun fiber is a great thing if you feel like you get bloated really easily and the psyllium's not working. Use the sun fiber and that will really help.
So is sun fiber made, you said, from Jerusalem artichoke, so it would have a lot of inulin in it?
No, it's from guar gum.
It's guar gum.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of that. That's why I still love doing this show after 50 years, because I learn more every single day, because there is fiber also, you know, from Jerusalem artichoke, which is called sunchoke, and that's why I thought that.
Yeah.
So guar gum. Now, what is guar gum made from?
So let's see. Where does sun fiber get its guar gum? I'm not really sure, actually.
Okay, but you just know that's the name of it. That is really interesting because it's less reactive if somebody is sensitive.
It is. And fiber. But also when somebody's reacting to fiber, like sometimes it's because they're just going up too fast, right? So.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. You don't want to start with a tablespoon.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You know, people have actually died from that.
Because they
got something called a bolus blockage in their intestines from using too much psyllium. You know, even something like, let's say, a widely available commercial one, I'll just say, is Metamucil. But we're talking about more natural of that. But yeah, because it turns into a big giant bolus and gets like literally stuck because they didn't drink enough water. I have heard of that happening. So, which is why it's wonderful to work with a naturopathic physician like yourself, because you'll get all the nuanced instructions about how to do this the right way.
Right.
Which is great. So you really put together a beautiful protocol. And let me ask you this, how successful is it with patients sort of reversing or no longer having the symptoms of PCOS, or also perhaps getting pregnant if that was their goal?
It's highly successful with patients with fertility issues. If it's really just about PCOS, they get pregnant, you know, and sometimes it's more complicated than just PCOS, but those are some of my favorite patient practice members to help, because it's almost easy. And then with other people with PCOS, we have a lot of success helping them as well. And what can be so valuable for them is that they just learn what they need to do to have their body feel balanced and their hormones to feel balanced. And it's almost just a relief to them because they've been struggling for so long often.
It is. I mean, to me, it shouldn't be that someone first goes through what's called conventional medicine, because there's so many side effects. I think the medicine you do, Dr. Leslie, should be standard of practice for everybody first, and then we could go to pharmaceuticals when we need them.
That would be great. That would be great. That's what we should change our healthcare to. Can you do that, Ellen?
I've been trying a long time, and I'd love to pass that chore down to younger providers because, you know, I don't like feeling frustrated, but I've been, when you walk into a hospital, conventional hospital, where I often teach, and the first thing that hits you is a fast food restaurant in the lobby, with all that we know now, that is a depressing thing.
It just kind of puts it in your face like, conventional medicine is not thinking about this at all.
No, it's really based on maximizing pharmaceutical sales, not maximizing wellness. Well, the kind of medicine that you do gets better results, is much more cost effective in the long run, both to the individual and certainly to society, and leads to a happier, healthier individual and a happier, healthier world. So that's why, you know, I'm so happy that you're here in Asheville. And of course, you're also available, I imagine, online to people who track you down, and they can go to waterleafnaturopathic.com. What a beautiful name.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to actually tag off here. Thank you so much for being our guest today, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
And I'm happy to give anyone a 15-minute free consult if they're interested in working together. All they have to do is call our office at 828-505-0402, and we can chat and see if we'd be a good fit.
That's great. Thank you for that offer, Dr. Leslie. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. You can find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and join us for our many free webinars and classes. And until next time, we hope that you stay healthy.